there's a tremendous amount of research on something that, again, Ramachandran calls the God module. There's been a tremendous amount of research about where God is in the brain. And you can take, we could send you up to Laurentian University in Canada, and we could get Dr. Michael Persinger to strap you or me, me better than you, because I'm the atheist, but let's take somebody else. Okay, you know that European TV likes to do a lot of stuff with me. The Dutch have done a three-hour television
series. Oh, they're in love with you.
Yeah, they did a three-hour television series based on my theories about violence. They've done two other specials on me. For one of the specials, they sent their Dan Rather, a guy named Fonts de Paul, to the United States, to do a one-hour special based on my book, Global Brain. Now, Fonts de Paul not only looks like the young Robert Redford, but he comes from a country where religion is not a big thing, and he's an atheist. And when I say he's an atheist, I mean he hasn't had these experiences of having stigmata. He hasn't had these out-of-body experiences. He would have a hard time believing in these experiences. He'd have a hard time sympathizing or empathizing with your experiences and mine in this area. Yet, when he went off to a lab in New York that does the kind of transcranial magnetic stimulation that Michael Persinger first began to experiment with, the experimenters told him that they could induce in him a religious experience simply by fiddling with the magnetic waves around his brain. And he said, absolutely no way. No way at all. I mean, this is a guy who, frankly, when he gets into a really serious mood, looks like a Nazi general.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, this is a guy, he's a wonderful person, but he looks hard as granite.
Yeah.
Well, they strapped the equipment to his head, and he couldn't believe what happened. I mean, he had God all over the place. He had every mystic experience in the universe for the next 15 minutes. Because there is what's called a God module in the brain. By triggering, you were talking about the animal brain and the limbic system, which is where all of our, that's where all of our emotions are. Now, if you trigger the limbic system, the emotional part of the brain, along with the temporal lobes, certain aspects of the temporal lobes simultaneously, whammo, you get religious experiences up the kazoo. So then the question is, does that mean that God is something that we imagine because it's somehow been evolved into us to believe in it? Yes, that's a possibility, and it's one I believe in, frankly. Or is it that God, knowing that he would need a way to connect with us, built a God spot in the brain, hardwired a God spot through which he could communicate to us? Well, that's what some people believe. Now, I wouldn't tend to believe that, but that is what, there's a guy named Joseph, his last name is Joseph, who has done a lot of research with this, and he believes that that's the spot that God built into the brain so that we humans could understand him, or we humans at least could communicate with him.
What do you think happens to you when that body of Howard Bloom ceases to function?
Well, now you know the answer to this one. there are two answers, actually, as usual. One answer is, the consciousness and the, let's call it the spirit,
okay,
of Howard Bloom utterly ceased to be. And yet, you know something, George? No way in hell does the consciousness and spirit of Howard Bloom cease to be. Not for the usual reasons. Not because some poor, unfortunate, newborn cricket is about to find itself filled with the spirit that was me. Not because I'm about to be reincarnated as a puppy dog, and not because I'm about to go to a heaven, but because the influence of you and me lives on in the people who follow us. And the harder we try to influence other people and enlighten other people in our lives, the more likely that influence is to continue. Now, some people's influence, my father is alive in me. My father died in 1995. There is no way as long as I live that my father will be dead, because he will be alive in me. He will not only be alive in me, he will be alive in many of the people he influenced both within my family and outside of my family. And his message of utter integrity that hit me at the age of five, that message not only will remain alive in me and remain in people who I influence or who my cousins influence, but it's something which he got from not only his father, his grandfather, and God knows how many thousands of grandfathers before.
Let me ask you this, Howard, before we get to the top of the hour break here.
Okay.
Would you like to believe in a soul?
You know, it would really screw my thinking up. I need to know these experiences. I need to have them vividly. But I need to retain my distance. And let me give you one reason why.
It's got to be in 30 seconds.
Okay, in 30 seconds. If I went out there and got absolutely awed by the stars, and I get awed by all kinds of things around me, there's still one thing that would make me furious as hell at God. The murders, the massacres in Rwanda, the massacres in Bosnia, the current holy war between the West and the East, or whatever we want to call it, all of the wars that are going on right now. How could a God possibly tolerate this? And if there is a God, it's our job to reform him.